and are able to get thousands of dollars back on their taxes. So would really just encourage, insofar as that's a downside, we are also attempting to address it. And I want to make sure folks are also aware that there's a new public option to file your taxes, to claim your EITC and your child tax credits. If you go to directfile.irs.gov, Direct File is the program. You can file your taxes. Many Oregonians, there's a little bit of eligibility restrictions, but many Oregonians are able to file their taxes publicly for free, secure. It's really an amazing, amazing new program that this is just the first year that we've launched. So I hope folks understand, both of those takeaways. Number one is that the tax system can be an incredibly powerful tool for addressing inequality. And number two, that folks need to claim their credits, right? This only works if people file their taxes and if families are actually claiming the potentially thousands of dollars they could be getting. I mean, the federal EITC alone can be, upwards of $7,000 per year if you claim it.
That was Daniel Hauser, the Deputy Director of the Oregon Center for Public Policy, speaking with me about a report published by OCPP. It's called Strengthening the Earned Income Tax Credit Would Boost Economic Security for Nearly a Quarter Million Oregon Families. More information is online at ocpp.org. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio during this special programming campaign, All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 4. Now through April 15, you will hear different marathons and series, all brought to you by our talented programmers that make KBOO, KBOO. If you'd like to listen to all the fabulous specials, go to kboo.fm/ATNF4.
I wanna join the joy revolution. I boldly declare, for once in my life, I really don't care what anybody else thinks. Let them all judge. I'm gonna join the joy revolution. And sing. at the top of my lungs. I wanna dance, tell my tales, cry, run, do whatever I want. I wanna join the joy revolution. Your voice is muted. Left no space inside my soul to be intruded. I wish you all the best. May your spirit find its rest. Time to go, I'm moving on. It's for the better. Cause I'm a warrior, but you can't see my sword, it's invisible. I'm a warrior, but you can't see my sword, it's invisible. Be the water finding its own way around the rocks. Never be commodified or let them pull you in a box. Cause you know you are so much more. Be the fire burning, won't you ever let it cease? Know that you and only you will be the cure to the disease. As you grow to love yourself every day more. Cause doubt it has spoiled before. Away from your core. But darling, you're worth so much more. Finding its own way around the rocks. Never be commodified or let them pull you in a box. Cause you know you owe so much more. Be the fire burning, won't you ever let it cease? Know that you and only you will be the cure to the disease. As you grow to love yourself every day more. Again into the open, endless sea of currents that cannot be chosen. I throw myself back in, feel the water hit my skin. Free diving is what I know, it's my token. I'm a warrior, but you can't see my sword, it's invisible. I'm a warrior, but you can't see my sword, it's invisible. I'm a warrior, and my soul remains invisible.
Good morning, Ndakana. My name is Rhonda Besaw. I'm from Whitefield, New Hampshire. You are listening to Moccasin Tracks.
Cool.
Hey,
And my name is Deb Rigger. And Moccasin Tracks is being broadcast from the traditional ancestral homeland of the Western Abenaki people, who have lived in this area for more than 12,000 years. It is known as Ndakina, the land of the people of the dawn. We acknowledge and honor the people who still have a spiritual and cultural connection to this land. And I want to thank you for tuning in.
Go to Wakana, go to Wakana,
not a communist, so when they came for the communist, I held my tongue. Like a good neighbor, I minded my own business and trusted justice be done. I didn't ask what was their crime. It was their sadness, it wasn't mine. I didn't care where they were sent. By my silence, I gave my consent. By my silence, I gave my consent. I'm not Jewish, so when they came for the Jews, I had nothing to say. Branded with stars, like cattle in boxcars, then taken away.
For me, at the time I believed this would never happen to me. I didn't know just what it meant. For my silence to give my consent, for my silence to be my consent, by my silence I give my consent, by my silence.
Let's put our minds together as one and remember those who have passed on to the sky world. Their life duties are complete. They are living peacefully in the sky world, in the sky.
Remember, as you walk this earth, stay in prayer. Pray from your heart to the Creator. He hears your prayers. He answers you and keeps you strong. Pray for Mother Earth and all her creatures. Protect her. Protect the water. Remember your ceremonies. Keep them in your mind and in your heart.
Earth-bearing, she precious, yeah, come and dance with us one time.
Sing those prayers, dance those prayers, for all our tribal nations, protecting the sacred, children of the sun, ending 500 years of oppression, for my people. Imborinquen, Taino Nation, Boricua, rise, 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 end in 500 years of oppression, for all our tribal nation, dance, dance,
dance with me one time, clap with me one time, stomp with me.
All right, thanks. Hey, we got a guest coming right up from Cape Downwinders. And if you want to check out their website, it's at capedownwinders.net. Diane Turco is going to be speaking with us. She's the director. And I want to quote her as saying, from California to New Mexico to Vermont and beyond, we are all connected in our efforts to protect our communities from the ongoing dangers from nuclear power, production, decommissioning, and nuclear waste. We're going to be talking about the nuclear power plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts, which is the traditional territory of the Herring Pond Wampanoag. And there's been a lot of talk from Holtec, which is the private company that is decommissioning and dealing with the nuclear waste. They wanted to dump gallons and gallons of radioactive water into Cape Cod Bay. This was a letter that Cape Downwinders received, and I thought maybe Rick could read it.
Absolutely. In a letter received anonymously on August 21st, by Cape Downwinders and Massachusetts Department of Public Health, a Pilgrim insider reveals Holtec is using forced evaporation to discharge the radiologically contaminated industrial wastewater into our airways. According to this well-detailed letter, plant engineers were directed by Holtec's site vice president to design and install an unapproved rad waste processing method, which exposes both the workers and public to radioactively contaminated airborne water vapor. This system was installed in opposition to Holtec's own plant radiation protection personnel. Along with tritium, there are a lot more dangerous radionuclides in that vapor, purposely raining down on our communities today. Cesium-137, strontium-90, plutonium, cobalt-60, etc., all impacting our health, particularly that of the fetus, infant, child, and woman. This is another clear example of why we don't trust Holtec. They come to Plymouth promising openness and transparency, and we got neither. It's a bad indicator when a possible insider has to become a whistleblower and risk all to protect our communities with the truth of what's really happening behind the fence. How long has this process been going on? Why isn't the state monitoring direct gaseous emissions? How can Holtec be implementing unapproved methods without any oversight? Where is the oversight? Holtec doesn't care about worker or public safety, only the bottom line by decommissioning Pilgrim in the most cheap, fast, and unsafe way possible to get at the trust fund dollars. This greedy and untrustworthy company needs full independent oversight by the state.
Thank you. And the town of Plymouth, the select board, has weighed in on this issue, and they are writing to the state, and the state has said that they will try to impose, you know, the regulations that, you know, Holtec is breaking. So we're going to be having Diane Turco, who is the director of Cape Downwinders. She's been dealing with this issue in court and with the grassroots organizations. Also, SaveOurBayMA.com is another organization that's working with this issue. We'll come back with Diane Turco shortly. Good. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, okay. Carolyn, thank you for turning down the music, and we have all our mics on. Terrific. Diane Turco, welcome. Diane, I know you're the director of Cape Downwinders, but you do a lot of work with different coalitions of groups, and could you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
All right. Well, I'm the director of Cape Downwinders, which has been an organization since the early 80s. The name has evolved. And our goal is to investigate, educate, and agitate for public health and environmental safety around the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Since it's begun its decommissioning, we have formed a coalition, which is absolutely fabulous, a Save Our Bay MA coalition, which includes environmentalists, real estate people, fishermen, indigenous communities, activists. So we've got a really great team working to keep our communities and our environment safe and healthy.
Oh, that's terrific. Also, I want to introduce you to Rick Hunt, our co-host, sitting beside me. We read a letter that you received about the tritium being evaporated, and I was wondering if you could begin by telling us some about these issues with the tritium.
Okay. Well, if I can step back a bit about Holtec purchasing Pilgrim in 2019. Holtec is a corporation that is so corrupt. They bought Pilgrim, the plant, the waste, all the nuclear waste there, the acreage, for about $1,000. And with that, they got a $1.2 billion decommissioning trust fund, which was ratepayers' money to be used to safely decommission that nuclear site. Anything that's left after they decommission the site goes into their pocket.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's an incentive to do quick and dirty. And that's why it's important that people are paying attention and on them to do it right, except we have a big battle in front of us. So what is happening is Pilgrim has 1.1 million gallons of radioactive and industrial wastewater in the spent fuel pool and a few other areas in the building, and they wanted to dump it into Cape Cod Bay. And that includes tritium.
Yeah.
And we know when tritium gets into the ocean, it bioaccumulates and moves up the food chain, causes genetic damage. It's just, you just don't, as you know, put radionuclides into the environment. Mm-hmm. But that's the cheapest way to get rid of that water. So, yeah. So, Holtec said they're dumping in the bay, and Senator Markey stood up and had a special Senate hearing here in Plymouth. You can't dump. The CEO of Holtec, Chris Singh, Dr. Chris Singh, said, "We will abide by stakeholder decisions." Well, that was a big falsehood. Uh-huh. So, Holtec, that whole year, in 2022, they said they were going to dump in the bay. And the protection agency said, you can't. It's illegal. It's not in your permit. You need to file for a new permit. The state of Massachusetts said the same thing. Holtec all year, we're going to dump. We're going to dump. Nope, we're going to dump. Until December, when the EPA threatened them with jail time.
Oh, wow. So, interesting.
Yes, you dump, and somebody's going to jail. Yes. So Holtec immediately pivoted to heating the water.
Oh.
Submersion heaters into the spent fuel pool and at that time it was a dryer separator pit, the refuel floor. They were heating the ambient air with that radioactive wastewater.
Wow. So it was just going in the air.
Out the vents, unmonitored, unfiltered, out the vents. And so that was their plan to discharge the wastewater.
Uh-huh.
But get this, Holtec reported that they were heating the water for worker comfort.
Oh,
to raise
come on.
The ambient air temperature. Yes, yes.
Oh,
I know. And so I received a whistleblower letter in August. So this week, they put the heaters in February.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I received a whistleblower letter along with the Department of Public Health in Massachusetts. And this worker talked about how their radiation monitors in the building couldn't detect tritium, and that it was going out the discharge stack, and that the process was presenting a radiological and industrial safety concern for the workforce and the public.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what came of that?
Are you in court? Or no?
We went to the state. We went to the governor's office, AGO's office, the Nuclear Decommissioning Citizens Advisory Panel,
uh-huh.
which was set up by a legislature with, you know, all the state officials, local citizens, and Holtec reps. We asked that they advise the governor, which is their role, to independently investigate the situation, and it was tabled. It took 6 months for this issue to get on their agenda, and then they just voted to table it, the state included.
What?
Wow.
We've gone to everyone, and we went to OSHA, we went to Senator Markey, nobody's done anything about this. It is still uninvestigated.
So meanwhile, they're evaporating inside the building, and it's going out the stacks.
Yes.
Is there still citizen monitoring of the air going on in the communities, or...?
The Harvard School of Public Health,
uh-huh.
and I'm working also, too, with the Greater Boston Physicians for Social Responsibility, they are conducting a study now. They're taking samples of dust in the community. That project is going on.
So meanwhile, people just don't even know what's in the air, really, and it doesn't sound like the state really cares.
Right. That's our big concern. Is actually, we have gone to the state, we met with Governor Maura Healey's staff, with our coalition, expressing our concerns,
mm-hmm.
and it took us almost a year to get the meeting.
Wow.
And then it took a few more months to get an answer to our questions. We asked that they initiate an independent investigation, mm-hmm. and that they also enforce state laws that would stop Holtec's evaporation. Now, you know, the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection did deny the surface water discharge permit to Holtec. That mm-hmm. was great. But mm-hmm. what did Holtec do? Even though they said they would abide by state laws and regulations, they turned around and they're appealing that decision. But in the meantime, they're evaporating the water. But in those same laws, not only does it say no liquid, but it says gaseous materials too.
Yeah.
And we don't understand why the state is not enforcing the five laws, the DEP regulations that would prohibit Holtec from evaporating this radioactive wastewater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we, yeah. Yeah, oh. So we have, there is legislation at the State House, but it's happening today, and we're very frustrated that we can't get our state to move.
Yeah.
We're doing everything we can. We've gone to our legislators. We've gone to the state. We now have a non-binding public advisory question going on, all, hopefully, on all the ballots on Cape Cod and Plymouth that calls on our governor and our attorney general to enforce the state laws to stop Holtec.
Yeah, yeah. So did you go to the meeting last night, that your advisory panel meeting that was with the state?
I was actually in Harwich because the town was voting to put the ballot question on our Springtown ballot, so I had to be there to speak. But I've been going to those meetings since 2019.
Yeah. And
right.
And yet there's members of the state legislature on that commission, but yet...
No, not actually state legislature. Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt. But,
yeah.
State officials from the Department of Public Health,
okay.
The Department of Environmental Protection. So those are the folks that are representing the state agencies are on that panel.
Yeah, and nothing is moving there either.
No.
Wow.
No, we asked the Department of Public Health. Actually, in the settlement agreement, that the state signed with Holtec because they wanted assurances that this decommission would be done safely. They also said nothing in this agreement shall release any person from the obligation to investigate and remediate new, undiscovered or undisclosed releases of radiation. That's right in the settlement agreement between the state and Holtec.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And you know, we're trying to hold the state accountable for what they originally did was a good job, but they're not following through.
Right. Well, how could they follow through with fines? Is this would be part of the process to fine Holtec?
Well, first they should issue an order to stop the evaporation.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what they need to do, enforce the laws. In the Department of Environmental Protection, under definitions of airborne contaminants, one of the definitions is radiation and radionuclides.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah.
So, enforcing the laws, that's what they need to do.
Yeah. Oh, my. This same company is also dismantling Vermont Yankee. And... you know, what will we expect from them in these other situations? Because they're also involved in the uranium mining, and I also heard or read in a newspaper article that they want to also get involved in actually building small nuclear power reactors. This is a company that is very involved in the nuclear industry. How can we, you know, as citizens groups, keep them accountable? I mean, this is like a hard job you have.
Right. They're a private corporation.
Yeah.
And I warn people in New Hampshire that Seabrook isn't going to last too long. It will eventually shut down, and be prepared, because Holtec is a predatory company. They're going around the country buying old nuclear power, shut down nuclear power plants, and then getting that decommissioning trust fund money and doing whatever they want. You know, they bought the plant in Palisades in Michigan to decommission it.
Yeah.
Got the decommissioning trust fund, and all of a sudden, probably greasing a few palms, they turned around and trying to restart that nuclear site. And they're trying to put small modular reactors at their sites in Michigan, in New Jersey, at Oyster Creek, and in New York, in Indian Point. And we are just not going to have that in Massachusetts, for sure. But this is what they do. And the small modular reactors haven't even been approved by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
All right, yeah. They're not even in production. They don't, you know, from what I've read and trying to find out about them, you know, they need like $600 million just to design, you know, the prototypes, and they haven't even gotten that far. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this stuff is just like on paper and, you know, these threats. But yet what's happening at Pilgrim is real stuff. I mean, this is, you know, being emitted into the air right now, today. What can people do?
Well, we have been pushing our legislators and our governor. Actually, I just contacted the Conservation Law Foundation to see if they would take this on. There is a group that have appealed, Holtec's appeal, to dump in the bay.
Okay.
But in the meantime, the water will probably be all evaporated by the time that appeal is settled.
Okay.
And Holtec knows this. It's just a very bad situation. So we're doing as much as we can, but obviously the interest is in something else and not public health and safety and environmental health and safety.
Yeah, yeah.
That we have to keep pushing our government to do the right thing for the people and our land.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the health studies that are going on, it seems like that might take a long time for you to get any results from the Harvard health studies.
Right, you know. Yeah. And you know, we're looking. Let's look at the precautionary principle. Let's not do something if there may be some problems with it. Let's just be prudent for future generations to not be damaging our Earth. It's just awful. So, again, we've got a coalition of folks. We've got a lot of good people on our side, but for some reason, we're not able to move our government to do the right thing. But we're going to keep it up. But Holtec is being reinforced by, you know, receiving federal grants and loans. I mean, they got, you know, over $1 billion worth of money to restart Palisades.
Yeah.
And they plan to put SMRs there. And they plan, you know, we're fighting the SMRs. You know, people don't understand that these small modular reactors are not safe, clean, and green at all.
No.
And that's the next big fight. And the other fight, too, is the waste.
Yes. Yeah.
The waste is all in substandard cans. So Holtec makes their own cheap cans.
Yeah.
With the waste. So they use our decommissioning trust fund money, which they're not supposed to use that. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the captured regulator, federal regulator, allows Holtec exemptions to use the decommissioning trust fund. And one of those exemptions is to store the waste. So they buy their own $1.2 million cans to put the waste in. And a side note, they're also using that decommissioning trust fund for the legal appeal.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, how are they getting away with
money
that?
Against us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Unbelievable.
Right. So anyway, sorry. I mean, it's a beautiful day out.
Oh, I know. We all would rather be talking about other things. But
you go out there and that's why we do what we do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You go outside
exactly.
And you get in that sunshine and you hear those birds and you say, we're going to save this.
Yeah. Perhaps it would be helpful for people to know a little bit more about tritium and these waste canisters. At one point, I remember learning about it that, you know, it wasn't even safe to be close to those canisters because that's what's holding the plutonium and the most radioactive elements. Could you talk just a little bit in general about nuclear waste and the concerns?
Okay, well, I think the biggest issue people need to understand is it's going nowhere. The federal government has no plan, and there really is no way to really safely store it. I know in Finland, they've got an underground storage. Mm-hmm. But in the United States, it looks like it's not going anywhere, and even the Nuclear Regulatory Commission said it may stay at Pilgrim for 100 years or more. Mm-hmm. So, be prepared. And so we look at what we have here in Plymouth, and there's the spent fuel assemblies that are the most dangerous items on the planet, man-made dangers that last tens of thousands of years. This is the stuff that they made it error thinking it was going to be dumped into Yucca Mountain.
Right.
That didn't happen. But what we have on the hill in Plymouth is that same dangerous stuff. It's out in the open. You can see it from the main road.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we've been fighting for that to be enclosed and in better cans. That's a whole other issue we've been working on. So currently, the cans are 1/2 inch of stainless steel. So if you have a Yeti coffee cup, that's about the size of your, just 1/4 inch more, and that's what that high-level waste is in. They're put into Holtec cans that are sealed shut, so they can't be monitored, they can't be inspected, and if something happens, that stuff can't be retrieved because it's welded shut, and it's behind a concrete overpack that's for shielding of radiation only, even though there's vents that release radiation into the air. So it's a big myth that these that these cans are safe. They aren't safe. If something happens, do you know what the plan is at Pilgrim? They have 62 of these cans up on a hill, out in the open. There's this chain link fence around it. But if something happens, if there's a leak, and even Dr. Singh said a microscopic leak would release millions of curies of radiation.
Oh.
If there's a leak, they plan to do nothing. They have no plan. And I'm sure it's at Seabrook, too. We asked them, what would you do? And Holtec said, well, we have a giant concrete canister that would go over that first one that would cover it. Well, first of all, that's not going to work because it needs to be cooled.
Yeah.
So that would prevent the flow of the air that cools the can. And secondly, I said, well, do you have one on site? No. We have one in New Jersey at our factory, but not here. We'll move it up. And I found out that can in Camden, New Jersey, where Holtec's headquarters are, is specifically for Oyster Creek only and cannot be used for any place else.
Oh,
so,
my.
No, they said they had this and this is what they were going to do. And it was all, they never finished their sentences with the truth.
Uh-huh.
No.
We only get partial information. So those cans are up on the hill. There's signs that say danger, armed, you know, deadly force used. But the gate's open. The gate's open, and I've driven all the way up to the cans and parked my car right by the cans, and nobody's...
Wow.
I'm right there with my car.
Wow.
The vents are open. We're really concerned about security.
Yeah.
Because if something, one of those cans goes, each can holds more than half the cesium released at Chernobyl. And it's not like it's going to go up in a big bomb kind of thing, but the release of radionuclides into our environment... is the serious problem facing New England. And that's what our Nuclear Decommissioning Citizens Advisory Panel said in the annual report in 2020. This is the most serious public health safety issue in the state of Massachusetts. Sorry to have to bring the bad news, but that's where people have to step up and say, what? We won't accept this. This is unacceptable.
Yeah.
We need to be moving on this. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa.
So, sorry, I know.
It's hard to even form questions for you, Diane. But I am concerned about how to organize people, inform people to, you know, what would be the best way. Writing letters to state officials. It doesn't seem like it would help to write to Holtec at all.
No. Holtec is in the business of making money.
Yeah.
And that's it. And they're being supported by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
Yeah.
And I don't understand, our state did move on them not dumping in the bay. There was a huge uproar here. Like I said, Senator Markey even had a special hearing. But when the evaporation began, I don't understand why we didn't get that same uproar. According to a study done after Three Mile Island, when they fought to not have that wastewater dumped into the Susquehanna River, they evaporated, the water was evaporated. And it was discovered that it's 300 times more dangerous being evaporated. But it's more dangerous being evaporated than surface water discharge.
Because of the concentration of it, or how it... moves and forms with other elements.
You breathe it in. Yep, you breathe it in. It gets absorbed through your skin. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's what's happening here in the lovely state of Massachusetts.
Right.
And it's a crime against humanity that our state is not enforcing those laws. So we have written letters. We've met with the governor. We've met with our legislators. We have this non-binding question on the ballot. And it's very frustrating for us that it wasn't done yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going on 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, recently, the town of Plymouth, their select board, voted to... But basically what? They're just writing a letter to the governor? I mean, what are they actually able to do in the town?
Well, the town, I mean, they have public health regulations. The town is a company town, though.
Ah.
A lot of people work there. And the other thing is, when Holtec bought Pilgrim, the site is 140 acres, the actual where the plant is and where the waste is. But they also had over 1,400 acres, which Plymouth feels is prime real estate. But I don't understand. There's a nuclear waste dump there, and they're really not paying attention to that waste dump. When NRC came to town, they said once Pilgrim is cleaned up, you could put an elementary school where the building is today.
What? I mean, they can't even move the high-level waste. What?
I asked again. I said, did you just say that the town could put an elementary school right next to that high-level waste dump? Mm-hmm. And the NRC said yes.
Mm-hmm.
So people living there, I think, they just, it's a difficult situation to really recognize that's a serious, dangerous area to be living with the high-level waste right there. But Holtec is playing like, oh, this is pristine land and you're going to want it. So there's kind of a dichotomy in the town that the town wants the property to develop it for, you know, for revenue purposes. And so that whole other nuclear waste issue is really, it's kind of denial about this.
It's big time denial. But but more of the same kind of denial that's happened from the very beginning, as far as if you look at it from an indigenous point of view, right? I mean, Rick, do you want to make a comment?
I'm just blown away. They could say something as obnoxious as we're going to build an elementary school there. I mean, I don't get it. You know, it's like there's a group of people who really don't care about the environment as long as it's throwing up dollar signs in the sky.
Absolutely. And we're concerned that the state of Massachusetts, they did include nuclear power in their energy, safe energy, clean energy definition.
This is happening everywhere. It's just kind of a lie and a myth that it's really difficult to imagine that this is happening, but it really is happening. I sit in on meetings and I discovered that every province in so-called Canada is also wanting to build these small nuclear power reactors. And it just seems so crazy because there's not even a prototype that works. So, fantasy.
Right.
And they're getting away with that.
Yeah. I think, again, people need to look at the rights of nature and how we make our decisions for future generations.
Exactly.
You know that.
Exactly.
And that's the people that need to keep coming out, standing up, speaking out, and developing, the biggest thing I think recommend it is stop building community in each town.
Each town.
Like on the Cape, we have a small group in each town. And so when we have campaigns like this, all of the towns are together. And when we work together in a strong voice, that may move the needle. Mm. But I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure anymore.
Yeah.
I'm really concerned for the kids.
Yeah. Future and the unborn,
and the planet.
The planet and all the life.
No, radionuclides need to be kept out of the environment, and that's the bottom line. And so we need to work together as a community to make sure that's going to happen. So we're hoping that we can move the needle this year once we get all these votes in and we get up to the state house and, you've got to enforce the law. This is hurting our planet.
So again, in the towns, you're asking for each town to weigh in on this issue?
Yes, the ballot question actually calls on the town to write a letter to Governor Healy, Attorney General Campbell, all the state legislators and state agencies to enforce the state laws to prohibit Holtec from releasing radioactive materials into our environment, period. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that will be on the ballot coming up in the fall, or when will
the spring?
This spring. Okay.
Yes.
So this is something that's happening right now. People can engage in their town and make sure these ballots are on. Even if they're not on, there's a way to bring it forward on the voting days. Is that still possible?
No, actually, we are all under the time. I think we'll get it. We organized our campaign in January, so we're under the timelines for these ballot initiatives.
Okay,
so
great.
We'll get them on all the towns. We just have to wait till the Board of Selectmen approve the question for the ballot.
Great.
And then we're planning to go up to the State House in June with all of the results.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Wow. You know... I just to give you an opportunity that I've been trying to ask questions, but is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about?
I just think in this time, it's very important to stand up, to go to meetings, to meet with your legislators, and to just keep pushing until they do the right thing.
Yeah.
And it takes a good team. It takes a community to do this, to move it. So we're hoping that with this effort, we can get our government to do the right thing.
Yeah. And do you feel that, like, folks that are dealing with whole tech in their state, like other states like Vermont, do you find it helpful to work together, you know, with other states too?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, whole tech is not in Vermont. That's North Star, yes. Which,
okay.
When I
yeah.
talk to the Vermont people, yes, we work with them. They're wonderful,
yeah.
The CAN people. They're so glad they don't have whole tech. But we do work with the folks, other whole tech groups. Leona Morgan is a Diné.
Yes.
Native American in New Mexico, and we worked with that group when whole tech attempted to build a centralized interim storage in New
yes.
Mexico,
yeah.
which was illegal. According to the Nuclear Waste Policy Act, which says you can't have interim storage unless you have a final repository. Otherwise, it could become a de facto final repository.
Right, yeah.
So we worked with Leona, and she came out and spoke at the State House. We had programs at the State House.
Uh-huh, good.
And she came and spoke about that, and we were supporting their efforts out there. You know about that story, that the state of New Mexico filed a lawsuit against the NRC and included whole tech in that lawsuit for misrepresentation, for collusion. Mm-hmm. It's a fabulous lawsuit that really exposes whole tech. It's now with the Supreme Court.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're planning to keep on moving uranium from the mining sites, and that's whole tech, right? That's doing that. They're also, though, operate the repositories that are interim storage. They also have their hands in that
yet,
too.
Yes.
Yeah.
They haven't been built yet, but again, too, that's a big problem. You know, the government is saying that we need consent-based siting. Well, you know, who is going to say yes? Our community, our land will be a nuclear waste dump.
No.
You know, we're saying make it safer where it is. And this is Cape Downwinder's position. Make it safer where it is, and until there's a federal repository that really does the job.
Yeah.
And so to do that, they need to move all those canisters into thick-walled canisters. It needs to be in a climate-controlled building with real security. They don't even have a way to move if there's a problem with the can. There's no technology. There is out there. It's called a hot cell, which is like a building that has equipment that can move a damaged can into another one. But there's nothing out there now. There's not one hot cell in the United States. And so we need hot cells at every nuclear site.
It sounds like that's what they need to do.
Because all of these cans are aging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And something's going to happen. So, you know, unfortunately, what we understand is like a nuclear accident happens every 15 years. And we're just like, oh, please. I don't know. But it's going to take citizen action, and that's pushing against the corporations, the money, and the government.
Diane, you certainly have your work cut out for you. I really appreciate you talking to us today, and in any way that we can continue to share information, please let us know. Wow.
Yeah, and I sense your strength. It's I'm sitting here, and I'm going like this, and you know, it's like you know what it's about, and here it is, and
yes,
it's our work
yeah
to save the planet.
Well, I'm thankful for folks like you.
Right, right. We're connected with the folks in New York and Oyster Creek.
Yeah.
And we're all in this together. We're really all in this together. And that's what sustains me, is a wonderful community of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are working together to do the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Diane Tarkow with Cape Downwinders. You can go to their website, capedownwinders.net. You can also find them on Facebook. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Right. And like my heroine, Helen Caldicott, says,
yes,
if you love this planet.
Yes. And we do love this planet.
Dot, dot, dot. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. You be well.
Yes.
Okay, you too.
It's been an honor.
Thank you.
All right.
Listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, also heard at translator K220HR Hood River at 91.9 FM, and translator K282BH in